Lord, as we humbly come to you this morning, Lord, there's just so much, Lord, to pray for. And Father, we just want to ask you that you would touch each one of these requests. And Father, we do ask, Lord, that you would help to lift up some men, dear Lord, that Father, that are called to preach, dear Lord, and Father, that you would help them to be have a acceptable will, dear Lord, to the Holy Spirit, Lord, to be guided and do what they need to do. And ask that you would help to fill these pulpits, Lord, especially that are without preachers. We ask, Lord, that you would touch the sick. Father, we know that, Lord, in this hour that we're in right now, Lord, for our church especially, Lord, we've got a lot of people, Lord, who, Father, are suffering and going through surgeries, going through recovery. Some, Lord, who are having all kinds of conditions. And we pray for them, Lord, and ask that you would just lift them up to you, Father, that you would touch their bodies and their minds, their hearts. Help them all to have that speedy recovery. And, Lord, help us to do all that we can do, dear Lord, for those that, Lord, are less fortunate. Father, we just pray for Brother John this morning and ask that you would touch him as he teaches. Touch all the teachers. Touch the preacher this morning. Help him too, dear Lord. Father, I know he's still having a lot of issues with his back. But, Lord, we know that you can give strength where strength is needed. Father, we're so thankful for all that you do for us. And, Father, help us to remember, Lord, that we're, I don't know how to say it in words, Lord, but just worshiping, Lord, on a day that, Father, we set aside because of your resurrection. And if it had not been for that, Lord, that you had not conquered death, hell, and the grave, Father, we would not have had an opportunity to be saved and go to a place called heaven, Lord, that we're all looking forward to go. Bless and help everything that's needed and what needs to be done today in every life and every heart, and especially that one that's lost. We do ask that you would touch and save them, Lord, before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. As you know, we've been coming through the seven judgments. We got through the first three, which deal with us as believers. The first one, of course, was Christ on the cross. We became sinners, not that we became, but we were judged as sinners on the cross. And when we got born again, then we became sons of God. And at that point, we were judged as a son. And that's what we're going through now. We either confess it now or we possibly reap what we sow now and at the judgment seat. And then the third one, as a servant, where our attitude of heart, why we did what we did as a believer for the Lord Jesus Christ, will be judged. And now we come to the fourth judgment, which is the judgment of the nations, also known as the sheep and the goats. And the subject is the nations, which are the Gentiles, the all non-Jews. And the time will be at the revelation of Christ when Christ comes back. And the place will be at the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the throne of glory where Christ will be. And the basis of this judgment is how these people treated the Jews during the tribulation period. And the results, some will be saved, not born again, but saved. Get the distinction between the different dispensations. This nations will be saved, and some will be destroyed. And this judgment is still future. And the account of this judgment is given in Matthew 25. Go to two places, Matthew 25 and Revelation 20. We'll take a look at these two. And one of the problems is people will combine these two judgments that you'll be looking at, and they'll claim that it's one, and they'll have a common judgment rather than two separate judgments.
Revelation what?
20. And when you compare them, you can see the difference between them. And it'll be evident to you when you take a closer look at them that they're not the same. And Matthew 25, go down to verse 31. Matthew 25 and verse 31. This is a judgment that's going to take place. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come. Now, Son of Man, you know that term. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him. Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another. And the shepherd as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Now this is the judgment that we're talking about right now. Now, when you go to Revelation chapter 20, in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat upon it. Now you got two different places there, the great white throne and the throne of glory there. So they're not the same. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the Lord, or before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So these people, they're judged according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Now, here you have salvation by works. People say, you're not saved by works. Get the dispensations right. Rightly divide the Word of God. And we'll see what happens. Now, another thing I want to point out is the books were open. And another book was opened, which is a book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things. Now, who's being judged? It's these people at the great white throne judgment, and the book of life was opened. You hear gospel songs, and you hear people preach, well, my name, I'm so glad my name's written in the book of life. My name's not written in the book of life. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. The book of life is for these people at the great white throne judgment. There's a difference there. And you need to understand all that God separates. Now, in Matthew, there's no resurrection. In Revelation, there is a resurrection. In Matthew, the living nations are judged. And the nations, I don't know if I put it down in my notes or not. I'll hit on it in a minute. The nations are judged. In Revelation, the dead are judged. This, in Matthew, this judgment takes place on earth. Joel chapter 3 and verse 2 says that. And what that says is, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people. Now, who's his people? Israel. Mm-hmm. And for my heritage, Israel. He makes it clear. That's who he chose. That's his heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. and they're going to be judged on how they deal with Israel. And in Revelation, heaven and earth are gone. They're judged standing in on nothing. Everything's gone at this time. They're standing before God, and you can look, you know, right in space. It's hard to imagine. And then number four, Matthew, there's no books mentioned. In Revelation, the books are opened. And in Matthew, there's three classes named: the sheep, the goats, and the brethren. And you need to understand who they are. In Revelation, one class is mentioned, the dead. And the dead, you can understand the difference there. And the time in Matthew is after the millennial reign, when Christ comes down to rule and reign. And in Revelation, the time is before the millennial reign. So the comparison reveals the fact that one of these judgments are on the earth and the other one is in the heavens. And they are separated by 1,000 years. So they're not the same. Those of you that are like word studies, and I normally don't do this and I don't mention these things, but you take the word ethnos that's mentioned in Matthew 25, it's translated nations, and it occurs 158 times in the New Testament. Nation or nations are mentioned 61 times. Heathen, it's used 5 times. So you can understand that the nations are dealing with individuals along with their nationality, how they treated the Jews. And this is a judgment of nations only. The Jews cannot be in it, for they are not reckoned among the nations. I don't know if you realize that or not, but according to God, the Jews are not recognized as a nation. You find that in Numbers 23 and verse 9. For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. So they're not even recognized as a nation by God, because they're his heritage. And as the church will be associated with Christ in this judgment, for the saints, the church, shall judge the world. I don't know how many of you knew that, but the church cannot be in this judgment either. 1 Corinthians 6:2 tells you, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Not only will we judge angels, but we will judge the world. The saints will. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And then it goes on to, in that context, about being going before a judge, with the other Christians. Should you sue another saved person, or should you not? It's all covered in the book. So as we have seen, the church and the Jews have been already judged, so the judgment of the nations cannot be a general judgment. So then, who is meant by the sheep? Do they not represent the righteous and all the righteous from the beginning of the world to the end of time? So the sheep are the righteous ones. And do not the goats in like manner represent all the wicked, the people that have gone against Israel? If the sheep are the righteous and the goats are the wicked, who then are the brethren? Easy answer. The brethren. When the Lord speaks of his brethren, it's the Jews. It's the nation of Israel in this context. The scriptures teach that the righteous are saved by faith. In every dispensation, faith is there. And the wicked are the lost, because in this dispensation they reject Christ. In the judgment of the nations, they mistreat the Jews. Now this judgment, the sheep inherit a kingdom. You and I don't inherit a kingdom. The goats are commanded to depart because of their treatment of the brethren, which is the Jews. And as long as this country supports Israel, God promises to bless whoever blesses Israel. Right. Now, if I was president, a lot of things would change, depending on how long I survived as president. My major, if not all, support would go to Israel. I would build them up as a nation that couldn't be messed with. And you would see this country, as a result, being blessed like it's never been blessed before.
Well, John, that's what the United States has been trying to do for years.
Yeah.
And the left keeps fighting.
Exactly. What we were talking about, the and who's the left? The Democratic Party. They seem to be going against everything that's right.
They do. But anything godly, they go against.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The Democrat Party has a lot of Jewish
support
in the United States. Yeah.
That's hard to understand, except that they're profiting.
Jewish support?
Yeah.
Yep, why largest. Is that?
Because those are all the money people, I'm sure, if you follow it back.
A lot of them are, I think they call them Reformed.
Yeah.
They're not Orthodox or conservative.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, they're repeating the way they had done things back in Judges. They turned away from God.
Exactly. It all repeats itself.
Okay.
Yeah. And it blows your mind sometimes when you see these things, but that's the way it is. So all the confusion caused by trying to make the judgment of the nations a judgment of individuals. The sheep represent one class of nations and the goats another class, while the brethren represent the Jews, which are Christ's brethren also. But we must bear in mind the time and place of this judgment. The time is at the revelation of Christ, as I mentioned before, when it comes to setting up his millennial kingdom on earth. And the place, of course, as I mentioned, is the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Joel 3, 1 and 2, I read that to you. I read verse 1 to you. And behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, verse 2, and I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. So, Scripture is not that difficult to learn and understand once you get the basics down of rightly dividing the Word and putting everything in its proper context. Then the Lord begins to open these things up to you, which, unfortunately, most Christians won't take the time, because you're not going to get it all by listening to 3 sermons a week or 10 sermons a week on the internet, whatever it is. You've got to study on your own if you want to learn these things. And that's how it's got to be. We'll cover that in a few minutes. So the prophecy clearly states what the judgment is of the nations, where it's going to be, and what it's all about. And at the judgment of the nations, the King, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, will say to the sheep nations, "Inasmuch as you have been kind to my brethren, the Jews, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So they're going to get a kingdom, as I mentioned earlier. And this kingdom is a millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ, which the sheep nations will inherit during that time. And they are to be among the saved nations of the new earth. There'll be a new earth, as you know, Revelation 21:14, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Now, in order to understand that, you've got to understand what's going on, excuse me, during the millennial reign of Christ, where they come once a month to take of the fruit and to offer their sacrifices to the Lord. So, it can be said of them that they, or at least the righteous individuals of them, shall enter into life eternal. Okay, Matthew 25, verse 46 says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment," that's the goats, "but the righteous into eternal life," or life into life eternal. So they'll have life eternal as a result of the way they treated the Jews during the millennia, or during the tribulation period. So Christ's sentence unto the goat nations will be, "Depart from me, ye cursed." These are cursed people, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, and they shall go away into everlasting punishment. So the goat nations will at once be destroyed as nations. Not one of them shall get into the millennial kingdom. And the wicked individuals which compose the nations shall be eternally lost. And you will hear very little about this judgment today. I don't want to start this, but I'll give you a little insight on it. You don't hear about this judgment today. Very few pastors will preach on it. Very few teachers will teach on it, because they don't know it. And the reason is that there's very little teaching. That's one of my fans calling. Tell them I'll be done in a minute. because there's very little teaching on Bible doctrines and systematic study of the Scriptures today. But the clear teaching of Bible doctrines have been watered down into just a gray mush of confusion today. But the admonition, and we'll pick up on this next week, the admonition of 2 Timothy 2:15, a command which I've gone over before, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed." But the second part is rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's where we're lacking today. Most Christians, pastors, teachers included, do not rightly divide the word of God. And we'll get into that next week. And so hopefully, and I know that there's time constraints and all that, but you can take a few minutes a day, a week, and get into the Word, find out what it really means to rightly divide the Word, and I'll cover that. And I'm thinking that I might just cover that in 1 week, just to get you an opening to find out what it's all about and how to do it and all that. All right, Ben, pray for us, please.
Father God, we thank you for this special day. And as Christians, Lord, would you help us not think about Easter, think more of a resurrection day, Lord. Without you, we'd have no foundation, we'd have no God. We'd have no salvation to save our souls, Father. We'd get what we deserve, but we thank you for taking care of those sins for us, taking them where they belong, something we couldn't do. But Lord, we pray today that good churches are built today. Heavenly Father, a lot of people will come to church today that maybe have never darkened those doors, but maybe their hearts and their minds will be open today and receive the Word. But I do thank you for all you've done for us and our church family, and I do want to continue to be strong in our prayer life, Father, for the ones who are still going through some things. And just help us be what we need to be as brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us stand behind each other and just take care of each other. But we do thank you again for this great day. Thank you for your blessings, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.